Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I have one of my best friends, but more importantly, a hero to so many from my hometown of San Diego, my second hometown of New Orleans. His name is Marshall Faulk. He's a Hall of Fame football player, but I know him as a business mentor. He teaches so many people around the world about engineering wealth. He's the one that taught me, Dave, you can make money, man. You've always been able to make money, but let me teach you how to engineer wealth. And Marshall's been leading the charge as a coach, a mentor, and a teacher to so many people to empower them with not just economic wealth, but engineering wealth in general. Welcome to the playbook, my friend,
Marshall. Thanks for having me, man. How you doing?
I'm amazed. I am so pleased to be here. Super excited about what you're doing and who you teamed up here in Colorado. Obviously, everybody knows you know how to coach football. They know you know about being a running back. But because this is the playbook to success, I'm more interested in why you came here and what you really want to teach beyond football.
Yeah, when I saw, Dave, where the game was going, in the sense that once the whole NIL deal took place and these kids now, they're coming into all of this money, I believe now even more than ever, these kids understanding exactly the importance of life now, the lessons that we learn in college, how these things can really help us in life after college or after ball. So you got to decide when to catch them and when is it best. And because, you know, I've been so successful, not just on the field, but off the field, what I wanted to make sure is that how do I give this back? How do I reward these kids with the gifts that I was given or the dummy tax, you know, that I paid to make sure that they don't have to pay it? And in order to do so, you know, I could travel around and speak, but I think I have a greater impact when I'm in the building.
You take jobs from me. So you stay here. I'll continue to travel out and speak.
And I was thinking that I could have a greater impact. We got 104 kids in this locker room.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's not going to make it to the league. Most of them are going to be successful, but how can we make sure that their success continues on, or that their success continues to produce success? And being in the locker room, being around them, being able to have those conversations. And what I love, I'm going to tell you what I love. It's not the kids that I approach, it's the kids that approach me.
Nice.
The ones that's like, they went on social media, they've looked me up, they see what I've done. And then they come to me and say, hey, coach, you mind if we sit down and talk about this, this, and this? I have these questions. And I love that these kids are so progressive in the sense that they'll reach out and ask for it. And it's showing that not only are they, you know, they're better athletes, they're playing a safer game, but I think just overall as an individual, like they're just better than us. They have more than we have. And that's what we want to do, make sure we give them all the things that we have so they can be better than us.
You know what I love is two things. One, every generation that goes by has the same complaint about the new generation. They're all lazy and they're all entitled. Mm-hmm. This has been going on since the 17th century. There's no grandparents or parents that don't say that about the kids. And I'm blessed because I do the other side of what you do, which is travel around, speaking everywhere, empowering kids. Was in Indy this week, Minnesota this week, San Diego, you know, two of your hometowns. And I was thinking to myself, man, our bench is deep. Like, everybody's worried about our future. I'm not worried about future. I'm worried about our past. The guys that are incompetent, like me, that had to pay the dummy tax. These kids are on it. One of the distinctions that you've made of having a deep bench is you came back to college football not only to have a direct impact, but there's the resources now. Even you playing at San Diego State and my friends that played at Washington and UCLA, and those schools are big. But they didn't have nearly the resources off the field to make sure that out of the 140 kids, let's say 14 make the league, well, the other 126 are going to be professional in something else.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about it, you know, when you look at the resources that they have for them, what I love is how, you know, here at Colorado, the alumni, how they invest in those kids, and they're having conversations with what it's like to be successful in other businesses and other entities. You know, I had this kid that when I got here in the spring, I was probably one of my hardest working kids. But over the time, he had too many concussions, and he, you know, had one in the spring. And we found out, like, man, you know, Charlie won't be able to be with us. You know, he had to call it quits. literally, we just found out, he wants to be a dentist. He
right
just he passed the test. He did all the things that he needed to do. And that kid, if you watched him practice, you watched him play, you watched him, you knew that, okay, he might not be as talented and he might not be successful in football, but whatever he does, he's going to be successful in right there. Passed, took his exams, and we found out a couple of weeks ago that he passed.
You know what's so nice is you're as proud about that as
oh, yeah.
the kids that are up for the Heisman Trophy or going to go into the league. And part of that is just having perspective. It's not just you, it's the coaches here have a Hall of Fame perspective. You've played the game, not just at the highest level, but at the highest level of the highest level. You know, and I know both working within the context of the Hall of Fame, even in the Hall of Fame, there's a hierarchy, right? There's the certain levels mm-hmm. of guys mm-hmm. and you are at the highest hierarchy of the Hall of Fame. But yet here, you have these guys teaching greatness, Warren Sapp, Primetime, and you. But that feeds not just the players, it feeds the people that work with you, the staff. Everybody here at the school has a higher expectation of success. You've always brought that into your business. I'm blessed to be a partner in some of those businesses. I watch you take people that don't think, they limit their, let's say, self-image. You increase the way they feel about themselves. How important is it to have these high-level people elevate everybody?
Yeah, it's great when the people underneath understand that the people above is not creating and wanting to be exclusive, that they want to be inclusive. And we want to teach you. Like, we want you to understand that the path that you're on was, that was our path. And a lot of times what these kids forget is that they only they think that they're the only ones having a hard time who have it tough.
Yeah.
And so when I'm sitting down and I'm talking to them and I'm like, hey, here's where I'm from. Here's what I, and they look at me like, wow. I'm like, yes, distance traveled is everything. Yeah. You just got to remember that every once in a while, you can look in the rearview mirror. You can't go forward looking in the rearview mirror the whole time.
Right.
And so as they start to understand and they don't allow how they grew up, because they didn't get to choose that. You don't get to choose your parents. You don't get to choose how you grow up, but you get to choose how you move forward. And this, once you make it here, you've left a lot behind. And now it's time to go out and make it so you can go back and take care of people.
Which you've done.
And that's what we want. That's what this is all about, Dave. Yeah. It's all about, you know, I've gone back and I continue to go back to help people in the communities that I grew up in, communities that I lived in. And now it's time to help people to get out and help their communities. You know, it's like it's the compound effect of knowing people and meeting people and networking and how you continue to give information, but how do you disseminate that information?
You know, a lot of great players, great coaches, and great people like yourself, you think about the humility that they have, and there's no one there to tell the stories about the true humility. And even I saw Scott Boras when we were going to the MLB All-Star Game, taking the red eye, rushing off the plane, walking up as the escalator's going. He wasn't going to just stand on the escalator, walking up. One of the things, I was just in Indianapolis with Angelo Pizzo, who did Hoosiers and Rudy, mm-hmm. Brian Neal, the head of the referees in the NFL, Paul Powell and others, and they told the story about what impressed them about Marshall Faulk. And it was that you were there. I asked if you would help this group of entrepreneurs, and you took the red eye, middle seat, I think it may have been Spirit Airlines, to give you humility specifically, and never told anyone, by the way. I only know that because I know the person who booked the flight, and she's amazing. But the humility to do these things, how important today with these kids is understanding, you know, you're either humble or you're about to be, as you see some of the players go on and don't have that humility, and they end up having to pay the dummy tax.
Yeah, you know, humility escapes them in a sense. You know, they don't really understand. So we package it as character, mm-hmm. understanding that your character is everything. And one of the things that in order for us to have the friendship that we have to not only understand each other's character, but our own character. And we decide how we want to show up, not just show up for us, but show up for each other. And when you do that, all the other ancillary things don't matter. When I tell you, hey, Dave, I'm going to be somewhere, how I get there doesn't matter. But getting there is the most important part. Now, do I want to arrive there in luxury and class? Yes.
Right.
But I'm not going to. But my word is more than how I get there and all the things that go on. And so showing up for people people don't understand that your character means your word and you living in your word. And when I say I'm going to do something, listen, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. Whether I want to do it or not, doesn't matter. I am going to do it. And that's these kids, what they have to learn is that element of your character, it doesn't go away. And it's hard to change. It's hard to change because once you can't trust you, meaning your word don't mean much to you, then how can someone else?
Speaking of character, times change, people change, expectations same. One of the issues about being older is that things that were acceptable when I was young are absolutely not acceptable today. And sometimes, you know, our friends on TV, our friends that are in the, sometimes you just don't know what you don't know.
That's it.
And you say things and you don't know that word meant what it even meant. And one of the things as a leader in business that I have difficulty is, you know, I grew up in an era where, you know, grabbing a face mask was okay. Even shaking a head, which is really dangerous for the brain, by the way, they found out.
Now we know.
And then screaming and humiliating, you know, players was okay. But I think there's been a problem that I see in business and in sports that it's gone too far in the respect that we're afraid to push. You know, I watched Miracle on Ice on the way, and I love the scene where it's like, again, look, they're just skating on the ice. Yeah. And yes, some kids threw up, but there was a doctor there. You know, it wasn't like someone's going to die. It was on the ice. Nobody's lacking water. But that's just not going to happen. Excuse my language today. Where's your line as far as how you push kids to be their best?
I push as hard as I need to. But the understanding is I'm here to make you better. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I make sure that they know before I start pushing them, I care about you. Yeah. And when I'm talking to you, I'm attacking a problem. I'm not attacking you as a person. If you want to get better, you have to understand that I am trying to solve a bigger problem. This isn't about you, the person. And most of these kids are sensitive and they're soft.
Yeah.
And because of that, you can't coach them hard. And even me as a parent, we are to blame for that.
Right.
Because how I grew up was how I grew up. And I think about it sometimes. My kids get tired of me saying it to them. I wish you grew up the way I grew up. And my son always says, Dad, you took care of that for us. You made sure we did it.
Right.
Thank you. You know?
Yeah. Right. I got a son like that too.
we are making our kids what they are because the tough times that actually made us who we are, we don't dare have them go through that. Because we saw a lot of people around us not make it.
Yeah.
So although we want that for them, we're scared of that for them as well. But I coach hard, man. I coach hard. I coach the group. I coach the individual. But I make sure they know that I'm coming from a place that I care about you. Yeah. And if you think I'm wrong now, down the road, keep my number.
To thank me.
Keep my number. Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Keep my number.
And to finish up, you know, preparation is really important to me. I talk about consistent potential. I mean, everyday preparation. And attention and intention equals these coincidences in our lives. And I found that from Warren Moon to you to Troy Aikman, other people that I've been around, that they don't know the story about the preparation side of it. And I believe that Delta, like there's a lot of guys that had more talent than you. It's like Ray Lewis. I always tell him, man, there's plenty of guys that are stronger and faster than you. But it was the preparation that made the difference to make you the greatest of all time. And I know Warren, 6 years in Canada, spent most of the time just preparing to get in the league. How much in your life do you attribute football to learning what that really means to prepare?
All of it, but literally. Football was my life at one point in time. And understanding and knowing after those 4 or 5 games, knowing what to put into the game, it's like I get asked, what amount you put into the game? Everything.
Right.
Everything. because I'm never getting everything back, but I can, I'm gonna get the most I can. If I put everything, I'm gonna get the most return I can. But if I put 100, the most I can get is 100.
Right.
And what if I need more? What if the game go into the fifth quarter? What if we're in overtime? I gave 100 and we're in overtime. So this game has taught me so much, not just about how to play it and be successful, but how to be successful in life. And how to deal with not just your successes, but your failures and the things that you go through. You know, I always tell people, Coach Prime and I, we were having this conversation. One of the worst feelings in the world is to fumble that football and to be laying on the ground and somebody laying on top of you and it's right there and you can't get it.
Yeah.
You cannot get it. It is one of the most humbling feelings. And immediately you start thinking about, why didn't I protect it more? Why wasn't I carrying it more? Why couldn't I have done more? And therein lies, always do the most. So you're never in question. So anytime I put the ball on the carpet, I already knew. I was like, I was doing the most. The other guy gets paid to do a job too.
You're right.
And every once in a while, he's going to win.
And that's a humbling and important lesson. One of the things I learned in football as a below average college football player, and, truthfully, but I always did my best. I tried to learn like you, because I'm good to make mistakes. As a punt returner, I fumbled, had the same exact experience. Rules were even different, so people could really lay into you. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing I learned was to learn to love what I didn't like or love about football, to have and still have fun. And you at least were a superstar. You could imagine sitting most of your college career on a bench and loving the game so much, but you had to learn to love film, taking,
oh, yeah,
right? All this,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And for you in life, you know, even being married, kids, all the things we've experienced, you know, my wife hates it when I say it, but man, I have to learn to love what I don't like or love about the love of my life.
Yeah.
And my kids, by the way, I love my yep, kids like you, mm-hmm, but man, I don't like and love everything about those kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much should kids today that are in on your team and out there in business, life, personal relationships, really understand that life isn't easy, but you do give meaning to what you see? If you look in the rearview mirror, the meaning of that past should be aligned with where you're going, not stopping you from where you're going. For you, how much has that attributed to your success?
Oh, it's everything, Dave. Literally. And I had to learn. I had to, like, I love playing. I love Sundays. I love games. You got to love practice. You got to love the process, is what we call it.
Yeah.
Most of us, we love how we feel. We love when we score. We love when we win. But I love the process. Like, I love when the game starts, before the game ends, the process of what it takes to get the job done. Hey, even with your kids, we love having kids. You know, it's like, oh, it's good. It's great to have kids. But do you love the process of raising them? Because
right,
that's where it matters. And I tell these kids, I'm like, man, fall in love with the process. Like, you want to be great, fall in love with the process of becoming great. If you fall in love with the process, then when you make it or you become great, then you can compete with yourself. If you only fall in love with getting there, when you get there, you're going to be like, okay, I'm here. Now what?
Empty.
That's it. Right. But when you fall in love with the process, it's like, okay, I'm great. Let me go back. Let me redo it. It's the process. It's the process that allows you to maintain success. Talent and all that will get you to success, but falling in love with the process, it allows you to maintain success.
Well, you have helped me in my career to learn to love the process, but also teaching me the dummy tax that you've understood, the humility that you have. But I will tell you this, if you want to come play at a school, if you want to play football, there's one reason I'd come here. If I had the talent to come here, it's because these coaches here will show up for you. And they will love you. They'll be proud of you. But most importantly, you don't see this everywhere. They have your back on and off the field. And they only want the best for you. They'll bring out the best by doing so. And Marshall Faulk, I know off the field for me, has been a great coach, teacher, and mentor. Can't wait to see what you do on the field with these kids and then have the greatest joy in life, which is to watch the success of the kids that have come up through here and from you. And that's the greatest joy, to elevate others, to elevate yourself. And you've been doing it, man. Thank you for taking the time and always showing up for me.
Nah, man, thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Love you, brother.
I love you, too. The incredible Hall of Fame running back coach here at the University of Colorado, the king of financial literacy and empowerment, my friend, Marshall Falk. Thanks for joining me. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.